Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage: it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapperston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapperston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapperston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapperston Asset Management, securities offered through Brighton Securities, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Brownstein. This is like I've been off for 3 weeks. So I don't know how to do this.
So. Yeah, it always happens. I know when Willard comes back, he has the same problem.
Well, let's not compare, you know, the master to a mere novice. Like
mere
myself.
Novice. Okay. But anyway, it is Saturday, January 12th, 2019. Looks like it's 10:04 in the morning, and we always say that because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520 AM out of Buffalo, New York, at midnight, unless there's a sporting event. And then the show should be on after the sporting event. Also, the show is available every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 AM at our website, live streaming, sapperston.com, SAPERSTON.com. And then finally, or not finally, I'm jumping ahead.
In addition,
all of our shows are archived at the website. So if you miss a show, you want to replay the show is available there. And finally, last but not least, there's always a free economic report by Stone and McCarthy.
Yes, and it's usually up and running by 4:30. Last night I looked at, I think it was around 7:30. It wasn't up. It is up now, and you can read whatever you want in it, Peter, but this is the only thing that counts in this market. What does that say three times?
What does it say three
Don't
times?
Don't put the swear word.
That's what I tell people, all that matters at all, Fed, Fed, Fed.
There you go.
You know, that's right what now. That's, you know, Fed makes the bull markets, the Fed makes the bear markets. You know, that's it.
Well, if the Fed would have listened to the smart guy in the room.
Who's that?
Me. And not raised interest rates. They shouldn't have raised them in December. You heard me talking about it. And Mr. Powell is a bright guy. He finally saw the light and he's backing off. They realize they put a kibosh to this market and they are now in the last comments that were made. I think, was he interviewed Friday or was it Thursday? Jake Powell by the Economic Club.
I think it was Thursday or Friday.
But, you know, he basically said, the questioner said, are you taking the markets into consideration? He said, yes. And that's something in the past they never did. Mr. Greenspan, God bless his soul, his old soul. I mean, I don't know why they still even go to him, but holy cow.
Because he plays clarinet, you know.
But no, anyway. His wife is Andrea Mitchell. That's why.
Oh, is that why?
From NBC.
Okay. Yeah. But anyway, right now, phone lines are wide open. Otherwise, you'll have to listen to David for the next half hour. But give us a call, 803-1520, or toll-free 800-879-7541. Very easy to get in at the beginning of the show. It, you know, toward the end of the show, for some reason, everybody calls, you know, in the last 5 or 10 minutes, and either we miss getting to somebody or we have to rush through it, and I hate to rush through
terrible.
It, you know.
Oh, yes.
Because then I have, you know, anxiety. Mixed feelings when I leave home, leave and head home, and I should have said this, I should have said that, you know. And but anyway, so do give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. Also, if for some reason you don't want to talk to us, although we do like to talk to people, you can go to the website, saperston.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com. Go to the Dollar Doctor tab. Drop down comes down, says live streaming. Click on the live streaming. Go to the bottom of the page. And there's a chat box. And in the chat box, you can enter a question or a stock symbol you want us to look at. And if you do enter a symbol or symbols, you know, let us know whether you own them or you're looking to buy them or you want to sell them, whatever, so that we can, you know, do the analysis based on your position in that particular stock. Right now, once again, give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541.
We do have some questions on the chat box,
okay.
If you're ready.
I'm ready.
Almighty one. N-O-B-L.
N-O-B-L. Pro shares. These are the S&P 500 aristocrats. Yeah, we like to, you know, buy that, you know, at times because, you know, it is the, you know, the dividend-paying aristocrats in the S&P 500.
The elites, is that what you're saying?
No, aristocrats.
I call them elites.
Elites. Oh, I thought you said REITs.
No. Oh, boy.
But, you know, in looking at it, you know, it's in heavy resistance now, rebounding, you know, into resistance, as most of the averages are right now. You know, most of the averages are now in resistance areas, you know, where they had broken down from. And this will be a critical point in the market. But I think, you know, if you're a long-term investor, this is a good place to be, you know, in these particular companies with the dividends they pay and everything. And if you're thinking to invest in it, you might put a little bit in it right now or half your position and see what happens next. You know, I would get concerned. I think it closed at
61.91.
And, you know, depending on your risk tolerance, and we always say that, you know, you should look at the potential risk. And if it broke down to 56, it would be a bit of a concern. You know, to reevaluate it at that point in time and then take a look at what's happening in the market. But I think, you know, as part of a portfolio, especially if you're a somewhat longer-term investor, this is something to consider. Yep.
Okay. Same gentleman. I think it's a gentleman. I think it's a male. FV, closed at 2701.
FV?
Yeah, Frank Victor.
Okay. And Frank Victor is?
It's a First Trust, I think, right?
Is it? Yeah, First Trust, yeah. Dorsey Wright, Focus 5 ETF.
Focus 5. Wow.
And it's been in a steady downtrend in a rally again. So once again, you know, it's rallying with the market. Got as low as about 2350. Closed at 2701.
Looks to be financials.
Yeah.
I just don't know the leverage on it, Peter.
Yeah. You know, you have to look into, we always say do your own research. Make sure that you know, take a look at it, see if it's, you know, well spread out among what it invests in. If this is a focus, I'm not familiar with it, but, you know, if it's got a heavy position and only, you know, like the top three holdings are 10% each, so 30% of the fund is in three stocks, you may want to think twice about something like that. So you should always look how the holdings are dispersed to make sure they're not heavily concentrated, unless that's what you want. You know, this would not give a buy signal, unfortunately, until it got up to, say, around 28.5. So if for some reason you've looked into it and you think it looks good to you, you could buy a little and, you know, maybe add if it got up to, you know, about the 28.5 area. And, you know, looking at it, I would be concerned if it dropped to, say, 23. Which is a pretty decent drop, but not these days in the market, that's for sure. And if you're willing to take that risk, you might consider it and make sure you've looked at it very carefully as to what it holds.
All right, you want to do one more form and then
sure.
go to phone calls?
Yep.
Okay, last one for this round is FYX.
FYX.
Yes.
FYX, First Trust Small Cap Core right. Alpha Dex Fund. Now, we know what happened to the small caps. They were just devastated last year. Interestingly enough, the strongest index for the first beginning of this year is the small cap index. For example, the NASDAQ's up 5.1 for the year so far, and the Russell 2000, which is considered the small cap index, is up 7.3%. And it's logical because this is what happens, it's the, after the big sell-off or any sell-off, the beginning of the year, they jump into those stocks that have been hit.
Sure.
And, it's called the January effect. And, for a while it became the December effect as people tried to beat the January effect. But anyway.
Oh, boy.
But whatever. So the small caps have had a big rally. Do you jump in right now? You're up against heavy resistance again. It could just keep going. Problem being that if it does get to this resistance area, it could pull back and give you a better opportunity. So once again, if you feel very strongly about, the small caps, you could invest a little and, wait for a pullback potentially, to buy the rest. And at least if it does just keep going and going, which I don't know, anything's possible, but at least you've got half a position if that's what you want to be in.
Got it.
And, right now, what did it close at anyway? Did you look at that?
58.50.
Yeah. See, so it would only become a concern if it dropped to 49.5, which is a bit of a drop, So that's how I would look at it anyway.
Okay.
Okay, right now, I think we'll go to the phone lines, and who's the first one up here?
Art.
Art from New Jersey. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas.
Morning, Art. How are you doing?
Great. I hope the snow that's coming out from the Midwest doesn't hit you too hard. I didn't know if
the Buffalo
area.
Yeah, we're not getting any.
Yeah, we've been lucky. A lot of times, though, it's like, my parents over the years would hear, oh, Buffalo was buried in snow. And I'd say, no, that was south of the city.
The lake effect, right?
Right. Keep it south.
But we have gotten hit sometimes.
Yeah, we do get hit, though.
Yeah. I saw David's note on the chat box, and it says he's ABCK instead of BACK.
I do that to test people. I do that to test people. So
yeah, okay.
It worked.
It did.
Somebody pays attention.
Right.
Two things I was looking at. First was the Macy's, which has a symbol of just M.
Yeah, and I saw they had very disappointing news there.
Yeah, they have Barron's in there. They have a little chart, in the chart area. And showed it was down about 3.96 for the week, and it still pays a fairly dividend with the low of 22.47 52 week. Does that sound like something that you could bottom fish on if it gets lower than the 22?
Well, that's a bottom fish. I would say that real support for the stock would be 23 to 24,
mm-hmm.
and then if it kept going, you'd get all the way down to about 17.5. So
right.
It's in a solid downtrend, so it's more than the bottom fish. It's like catching a falling knife,
Okay.
My experience
would
has been...
Would still be secure if it got down under 20
well,
or 18?
It's hard to say. I mean, some companies, they'll defend their dividend no matter what, So you don't know the situation, really,
Yeah. I know on CNBC they show a lot like Target, Kohl's, Macy's. They show how the retailers are doing well, so I've been watching that.
Yeah, they had a big run-up, and they were very strong
before Christmas.
Yeah, just before Christmas, and then boom,
I think you're best off staying away, finding something strong as opposed to bottom fish. I just don't see it. Some people get excited about doing that, but I've hardly ever seen somebody, all of a sudden it turns out to be the next Amazon. Just buy Amazon.
If you want a bottom fish, usually it's better if you wait for something to build a base, and actually look like it's making a bottom,
Yes. Yeah. Second item in Barron's, they had a big article on Bristol-Myers, a sweet pill for investors. And,
yeah, I saw that. I didn't get a chance to read it, but I saw that.
It says one of the potential people taking it over is a company called ABBVIE, symbol ABBV.
Well, they're a very good company. I mean, that's
probably... I've never heard of them.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever hear?
Yeah, but I think it used to be something different. You know, I don't remember, but... I think pretty sure ABBV.
It closed at 88.31, and its 52-week low has been 77.50, and the high 125.86.
Yeah, that company, you know, as far as I know from what I've read, is, you know, a very good company, no question about that.
Right. So. But here, my BMY is thinking of merging with Celgene, and now this other thing would come along, one of these others, and potentially buy out BMY.
Well, that's somebody's opinion.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's possible, you know, it's, you know, BMY's been a big disappointment, to say the least.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I was telling David, it kind of reminds me of Glaxo, you know. Everybody used to love Glaxo, and they always talk about, oh, they got good pipeline. And
yeah, ABBV is spinoff of Abbott, 2013.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so I forgot what company, but that's why you never heard of it. You know? I should have realized when it was called ABB, it could have been Abbott, right?
Did they spin off a certain type of their drugs, Abbott, to do this?
They did. I don't know what they are, but if you look in the ABBV, they're very well thought of. They've got a lot of great products, as far as I know.
I don't know about it,
you know.
Yeah, they still have Abbott Labs, which is more of the experimental type things,
right.
I believe.
Okay. Yeah.
Great. Okay, that's all the two I have for today.
Okay.
Good.
Right. We appreciate you starting off the calls.
Good. I'll get it rolling, right? Like
you did. There's all sorts of people lined up behind you now.
Good. The light's up. Maybe they want to jump in on my stock, too.
I don't know about that. But anyway.
All right. Have a good day.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Have a good weekend. Okay, right now, you know, give us a call. Phone lines are, you know, pretty decently open right now. And the numbers to call are 803-1520 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Or you can go to our website, saperston.com, SAPERSTON.com. Go to the Dollar Doctor tab. Drop down comes down, live streaming. Click it. Go to the bottom of the page. There's a chat box there. You can type in symbols, a question. If you put in symbols, let us know, you know, what you're looking to do with it. You know, buy it. Sell it, hold it forever, whatever. So right now, give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. We're going to go next to Tony in Clarence. Good morning.
Morning, Tony.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. My question is this. Last year, and we were told by the government that there were at least 6 million jobs that are open, going begging for people to be employed. Have either of you any idea of what kind of jobs they're referring to in this in what they're saying, and where do you find out if people are being trained for these types of jobs? I'm really just seeking some place to get information.
Yeah, I would. I always like to use Google and put in a topic that you sometimes have to toggle through a lot of things. But there are jobs in all different sectors. I don't have the facts and figures. You can look them up. But I'll give you an example. I live in Kenmore. I was driving to the Salvation Army before the end of the year to deliver some things. And there's a huge NFTA Metro bus garage there. And it's on Military Road near Kenmore. Up on the top where it says NFT Metro was a sign that says, "We're hiring." I mean, it's all over. As I drive around Western New York, I see it in small places. I see it in large places. There's a lot of jobs. But I think there are a lot of manufacturing jobs. And you hit, I think, one of the nails is the skilled labor, the plumbers, the electricians, the tradesmen.
Yeah. Well, my thought is where would the, if, do you know where the, if they have all these jobs open, isn't the government training people to take some of these jobs? Where would I find out about training and the availability of filling positions? Because it seems to me that if these jobs go begging, why are we then telling people that our immigrants, they should stay out of our country if they have those skills?
Well, there 23% of the 23% of the inmates in the federal prisons are illegal aliens. That's one reason. But number two, Americans want to do it. But, you know, you got to remember some of these young men and women that are 18, 19, 22, 23 years old, their parents are thinking, well, they should go to college. That was the whole thing that was drummed into our heads. You know, well, now a skill is great. I mean, it's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, Google, tell me what kind of jobs these are and where the training might be. So some of the people.
Oh, more than likely, you just have to ask the right question, you know. So
right. Yeah, some, okay.
Well, I'll do some work on it.
But you know, I would say as far as training, you know, you hit it as far as, you know, skilled. Mm-hmm. People always look down going into the trades. A lot of this is the way kids are brought up, and you know, I don't want to go into all of it, but.
But well, I want to hear your philosophy.
No, a lot of kids go to college for useless degrees, okay? You know, really, you know, I'll go take philosophy. I'll go take, you know, this, whatever, you know. And, no. You know,
in the 70s, I worked at Citibank.
That, you know?
And we had drawers of applications with people with master's degrees that were applying for tellers.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
Just because you get trained for something doesn't mean that's
exactly
what you're going to be.
Yeah,
but was the 70s. The
exactly,
job market was a lot tighter.
So anyway.
Well, I thank you both for your wisdom and keeping me company every Saturday morning at this time.
Well,
you're
very
thank
welcome.
You.
Happy
we appreciate
New Year.
The call. Take care.
Thank you.
Good question.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right, sir.
All right. Bye now. What's up next? I can't see that far.
We're going to Bill in Buffalo.
Bill in Buffalo. Good morning.
Morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
Good. How about you?
All okay.
Right, good. Calling with long-term investors. In the area of bonds, mm-hmm. What are you recommending for the intermediate investment grade bonds? Are they a buy, sell, hold at this point?
Peter, you want me to go first?
You're the bond expert.
Yeah, I doubt that. But
you fill in as the bond
expert. David was an expert on Powell. he's a non-academic. This is going to be different. Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Well, he used to always tell me in the beginning, he loved Powell.
I liked the choice.
Right.
There is no doubt because he wasn't an academic.
But anyway, we don't want to go off on that. Go back to the bonds. Go back to the bonds.
What do you recommend?
He got contaminated.
He doesn't want to listen. To this. Go to the bonds.
No. So interest rates since World War II did nothing but go up for 40 years. Yes, mm-hmm. There were peaks and valleys. And then in the 80s, they did nothing but go down for 40 years. Mm-hmm. And so now we're at that trough where they're starting to edge up. I think over the next 5 to 10 years, the odds of interest rates being higher are better than them being lower. So for that being said, I am looking when somebody wants to invest new money or somebody's looking to sell out of something different. I am only looking at senior floating rate. For somebody that is trying to be risk adverse because their duration is very low. Sometimes it's 0.2%. And I just am nervous. The one I think is the one I like to use, and depending on what availability you have, is Oppenheimer. And use that at least as a barometer if you have to buy, you know, Vanguard or a different group mm-hmm. because of cost, understandable, or if you don't have it in an IRA and you don't have if you have to pay too much to get it, you would look at it. But use it as a barometer. You know, it's yielding, my gosh, the 12-month yield on this thing is 4.6%. The 30-day SEC yield is 6%. And they shoot for 4. So mm-hmm. they're getting appreciably higher. And the fund, year-to-date, is up 2.4%. Last year was up, I believe, 8 or 9%. But I bought it as a safety place for income. What does that show you?
What is the symbol on it?
Oh, the symbol on the A share is OO, Oscar, Sam.
Okay.
A is an apple, X is an X-ray. And again, depending on where and if you can buy it, if you can't buy this, if you can't buy this, I apologize. I was looking at 17. It was up last year. It was up only it was down 0.9%. But
so you're a short term, definitely.
Well, I just don't know what the hell's going to happen, Bill, with interest rates. So I'm a little nervous. So.
Yeah,
I got older, I got more nervous. So
I'm with you on that. I had a question in terms of the area of the stocks. Where do you think we're headed with, well, there's this government shutdown, but the trade issue with China especially. I mean, it appears to me China's, you know, just a dictatorship, so whatever their people say doesn't mean anything because, you know, of the, how their government is set up, one person.
Mm-hmm.
Ours is different. And, you know,
well, it certainly is
so
different.
So the people are not going to tolerate some of this much longer. Not just the people, but business, everybody. They're going to start saying, you need a deal. I can't continue with this.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think the impact is for the market with that kind of thinking?
Well, I mean, the sad part is we're right, you know. I mean, China... Mm-hmm.
I hear that.
Is that we're right, but the catch is, you know, you can be right and do a lot of damage.
What's
right?
the cost?
You know, yeah, the cost right. of being right. I suspect a deal will come out, and the deal will look like something, but it'll just be, you know, okay, you know,
well,
you know what
okay.
I mean. In other words, they make these deals and
you want both sides. It's
yeah,
like a trade in sports.
Get a little
want,
bit.
Yes,
they get a little bit. It may not be the greatest in the world, but
it's see, better than what we
but
had.
But China is being really hit hard, you know, by this.
Yeah,
and you know, so you know, both sides now have a big incentive to right. come up with something,
and I
think they will. You know.
Politically,
yeah.
I mean, if you look back through the history of dictatorships, Bill, they mm-hmm. don't always last that long if the people are dissatisfied. Yes, they may go out and murder them and jail them and all that, but they don't last that long if they're dissatisfied. The Chinese are very bright. President Xi, you know, he's no idiot. And I think he knows that there's going to be a negotiation. You got the best deal maker, allegedly, in the world heading our side. So, you know, they're going to make a deal. 25%. So if he settles for 7 or 10, as opposed to 2.5 that we have, I think it's a win.
Okay.
As far as a government shutdown, I feel terrible for those people that aren't getting a paycheck. But, you know, this is not. You know, and again, for somebody that is working, it's terrible to say, but this isn't the biggest deal in the world. It's like when you have the Democrats and the Republicans in either power as we have now in two different houses, gridlock is awesome for the country because that means they really can't screw it up.
And need plus, they've always used this tactic for decades, you know, both parties,
mm-hmm.
you know, to you know, this is obviously, I think it's going to be or is the longest shutdown, but. There's always been this fight using this particular...
I think it's the second or third longest, you're correct. But
right, yeah.
People know too much information now. It's not like 10 years ago where, oh, did you hear? It was terrible. Now you open your phone and say, here it is. Here's the fact-checking. It's not that bad.
But anyway, it'll be like all other ones, you know. It'll go away.
Okay. One last comment. It is amazing if it's accurate, and I read an article,
mm-hmm.
how many people live on the edge. I mean, there's a lady on television. She works for the feds for 27 years, and she's saying, I can't afford an art program that my daughter wants. What the hell's wrong with that picture?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of things.
You work for the feds for 20. You got decent salaries.
Right.
You have decent benefits. You have a lot of things. And you're saying, I can't make the mortgage. I can't pay for my child's art course she wants to take. Either, you know, obviously there's a lot of people on the edge. This is very discouraging.
Well, unfortunately, you know, there are people who made decent money, you know, who are on the edge, you know.
Yeah.
And they made decisions, you know, to... And what you do is you decide, oh, I'm going to have this, I'm going to have that, I'm going to have that. I got plenty of time, right, you know?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you find yourself down the road in deep trouble, right?
Yeah.
And time's running out. And I've seen a lot of people make that decision, you know. The other side of the coin, I remember years ago somebody came in, you know, to open up an account. And, they had, I forgot what it was. It might have been like they'd $500,000, and they had modest salaries, you know, over the years.
Yes.
And they walked in and they said, well, geez, you know, we're not really that well off. I said, are you kidding me? I said, you're better off than probably 99%, you know.
That's a perfect point, Bill, that Peter makes. It's all relative. So somebody walking around that doesn't have $1,000 cash in their pocket thinks they're broke. And then there's the other person that's happy to have a buck. It's all relative. So this lady that they had on television, you don't know if that's, you know, embellished, you know, is it better TV other than saying, no, we're okay. We've got about, we can last for 6 months. Nobody's going to say anything. But I feel terrible for anybody that doesn't have a job if they want to work.
Yeah, that's one thing. But the people who made good money and they just said, hey, you know, I'm going to go traveling this. I'm going to do all this. This blah, 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 whatever, you know. And they've used up their money on things that were priorities to them, you know. And that's it. You know, that's what happens, you know.
Well, that's where people didn't feel all that bad. You can just remember the stories when the GM workers, you know, there were five men or women working, doing one job that took one person. Same thing with the Steel stories, Bethlehem Steel. You know, there were six guys there and one only worked, and they had all the time off and the vacations and the big money. And then the plant shut down, and it's like, I need to make $60,000.
Yeah, well, and to show you another thing too, you know, not to drag this on, but we will. No. But anyway, I was at a restaurant. This girl just got hired as a bartender. I started talking to her, you know, about she going to school, and she was telling me, "Yeah, I am, but I'm so buried in loans, you know, student loans. I had to take some time off to try to go make some money, you know, and." And so I said to her, I said, you know, my daughter, for part of her time, she couldn't do it all the time, but she was able to find grants out there. There's an amazing number of grants, all right, for all sorts of ridiculous things, all right? Yeah, and I said, I happened to see this girl on TV that she ended up going to $100,000 worth of schooling free with grants, all right? And she now started a business to educate people. Can come to her and she'll tell you how to do it, right? So my point being that people can find a way if they're willing to find a way, you know.
And I agree with you. It just seems something has changed over the years.
Oh, no question.
Whether it's immediate gratification.
Oh, I'm sure.
Or people feel the government should take care of them.
Yes.
You know, right?
Yeah, dependency.
Right.
I call it a hostile dependency.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, and once again, you know, not belittling people who really have a problem, you know.
Right.
A problem that there's nothing that they can do about, you know. And that's, you know.
An illness, a divorce.
Exactly. Whatever.
Job loss or something.
But yeah, but there's a lot of people that, you know, are... And most, you know, a lot, I think, you know, who can do things if they just got up and did something and took responsibility, you know. So anyway, so much for that.
Okay. Well, thanks very much.
Okay.
Thank you for the phone call.
Have a good week.
All right. You too. Thank you very much for calling. Okay. If Richard will be a little patient for about a minute, we'll take a quick 1 minute break. We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco of Saperstein Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperstein.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors shows also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperstein Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management. Securities offered through Brighton Securities, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. And right now, phone lines are again wide open, so give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. Or go to our website, saperstein.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com. Go to the Dollar Doctor tab, then a drop-down menu comes up. Click on live streaming. Go to the bottom of the page, and you can type in a question, type in a symbol. And if you type in a symbol, you know, let us know what you're looking to do: buy, sell, hold, you know, whatever. So we can, you know, do an analysis based on your position in that stock. And right now, we'll go to Richard And I was going to say where, but it doesn't say where. So we'll go to Richard.
In the United States.
Ratchet.
Yeah. I figured it was you, but, you know,
Hilton, Ratchet. Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. Okay. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I had a dream last night. You folks went to a two-hour show.
It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
Yeah, we used to say, you know, people would say you guys should do a two-hour show. We'd say, well, as they say in show business, you always got to leave them wanting more, right?
Yeah. We also, Richard, I have suggested that we do a simulcast so people can see what we look like, and then I looked in the mirror.
Yeah, go ahead. Right.
Yeah. Well, then you can't do the show in your pajamas. That's all.
Right. Yeah. Willard used to say that, and I said, you know, we don't want people to see the things we do, you know, or our reactions and so forth, you know. So
we never.
I've been listening for a long time, and you guys are still. You make Saturday mornings worthwhile. I'll tell you.
Well, we appreciate that very much. Thank you.
25 years. It'll be. I think 26 starts.
Isn't that hard to believe?
Next month.
Oh my!
Or this month? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I still remember sitting down. Wasn't it at the Marriott Millersport for your?
Yeah, that's where they used to have the seminars. Yeah,
that might have been one of the last ones. I don't know. Yeah. I can't remember.
Well, we had them at the Buffalo Club. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Well, thank you for doing what you do.
That's all right. Appreciate it.
What can we do for you, sir?
Thanks, Dave. I own British Petroleum, BP, Boy Paul.
Yeah. Did you see the news?
And then also last night when I'm sleeping, I'm wondering, is this an ADR, American Depository Receipt?
I don't think so.
I don't think it is, to tell you the truth.
Well, you would know on your dividend. No, well, look, it is PLC. You're right. I don't know.
It is an ADR. You're right. Yeah, it is.
It is?
Yeah, it is an ADR.
Do you have any experience how bad the fee is? Because annually, I've seen some of these things rock people.
What do you mean? The foreign tax?
What?
I thought there was a fee, an ADR.
Oh, no.
Well, you got to.
There's no fee on an ADR. Okay.
No,
he's talking about a fee, though. He knows about a foreign tax.
An annual tax or something? Or tax. Foreign tax?
Yeah, there's a foreign tax, and you get it back on your income tax, all right? You claim it on your income tax.
Oh, okay. All right, so there's no penalty to all.
No, definitely not. And the interesting thing
is... Only if it goes down.
I just read the other day they just discovered 1 billion barrels of oil.
I read that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read that. And the stock hasn't gone up since?
Well, the energy sector has been under pressure, but interestingly, one of the strongest sectors this year so far, and it's not surprising because you always say what went down the most will tend to rebound the most, you know. And, you know, the energy sector was, I think, one of the strongest, if not the strongest sector in the S&P so far.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, this came out, you know, the 37-38 area has been exceptional support, you know. And it just reversed off that, you know. So it's encouraging.
Well, I think I'm going to add to my position because I like the dividend, but I don't buy just for the dividend. That's what you guys are talking.
Right, yeah.
But I think oil's still the play, I think. And it's gonna move up, not down, I believe. So.
Yeah, that's always anybody's guess on who's manipulating what, you know. But
right.
Anyway.
Right. Yeah. Okay, you answered my question on that.
Right.
I think earnings starts this week. Does it not?
Well, that's going to be very interesting. Yeah. Yeah, because it'll be more of what they say ahead, you know, what they're looking for going ahead, you know. And it may not be the earnings themselves, but what's the outlook for each company? That's going to be the big thing. So.
It's the damnedest thing, isn't it? I mean, they can come out and beat both numbers and then only be honest to say, we don't think we're going to do quite as good next quarter, and then they kill you.
Yeah, that's one thing. But the other advantage you have now is, you know, with the way the year ended, expectations are very low for earnings.
Well, and they're being lowered.
And they're being lowered all the
time.
Due
to the trade, I think, more than anything.
Yeah. So anybody that says anything that's, you know, better than the lowered expectations.
Right.
Could go up,
right?
You know, so
I'm kind of hoping on that myself.
Right. Yeah. So, well.
Okay. Yeah. Apple. I've never owned Apple, and I feel like I've missed out all my life. But now I'm starting to think I want to dabble a little. Do you have an opinion looking at the chart?
Well, what's interesting is more and more bad news comes out every day. You know, I see the giant Chinese, that the phone's not selling, that the retailers are cutting the phone, that people don't want to pay those prices, you know, and so forth, you know. And they, so every day it is, there's news, you know, that's negative. Yet the stock all of a sudden seems to be trying to hold up in here, you know.
Yeah. So, I
would consider nibbling, you know. In
the only thing I thought was, I hear 5G, I've heard whatever you can believe, but they say 5G is so much better than 4G, and I don't understand what I'm talking about.
The speed, it's a speed, the speed of it.
Okay, yeah. And you can do so much more
right.
that when this does come, there should be an increase in some Apple phones, because Apple phones are 4G.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, like that.
My wife has
a
flip phone. She's fine.
Then I wonder how bad China plays against it, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's all sorts of things, you know, no question about it. Now, are they smart enough to be, and they are. I mean, their services business is picking up and up and up, you know. And one advantage Apple does have is they have 1.3 billion people who use their product, you know. And, you know, so that's a base that they can monetize, all right, if they're smart enough, you know, to be able to do it, you know.
And I think they are.
And I think they probably are, you know. So I could not see a problem with nibbling in here, you know, and then sit back and see what happens next, you know.
Sure. A PE at 12.54, I'm not sure how that is for the industry, but it's...
Well, they've always been right.
Me being old, low was good.
Well, that depends, but... sometimes it's low because nobody likes the company, you know, and the company's got problems, you know. But surprisingly, Apple's always had a low PE, you know,
Nobody ever gave them a shot.
No, you're
well,
right.
Well, that's a bit of an understatement.
I'm going to say it was always in this 12 to 15 PE or something like that, you know. So it's always been there because people are always were waiting for the end, you know, every year. You know? It's going to end. It's going to end.
Dave, what do you mean by nobody gave him a shot?
Well, everybody, when somebody's at the top like that, everybody's throwing arrows at them. You know, they just like to knock them down. And you hear so many naysayers. And I really never owned the stock many years ago. I just started nibbling at it over the last 6 months. And like I said, I liked it at 200, and here it is at 150. Well, I like it a little bit better. But again, it's like in anything. Richard, somebody came on the chat box and asked about this floating rate fund. They said, oh, it's got B, single B, and double B, you know, for 80%. Well, that's how those things are rated. And I would never buy anything and put 100% in. You take it as a part of a portfolio, and the same thing in a mutual fund, same thing with Apple. You do it for a certain percentage. I like to spread the risk because I'm not that smart. So
you have market risk if the market started going back down again.
It's going up, but
you
if
know,
it does.
But know. But if it did turn around, you know, because you are in a potential resistance area where at least it could go sideways for a while.
Right. You're talking the mid-150s, right?
What's
on
that?
Apple?
Oh, no, I'm talking about the market in general.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
The market in general, you know. But, if it did break into a new low, all right, your next support would be about 120, all right?
Yeah, it's a downdraft, yeah. And you get the biggest rallies in bear markets, right, Peter,
exactly.
Historically?
So. Oh, yeah.
But this just doesn't feel like a bear market, so.
No. All right, I don't want to hog the show. You got other calls?
No. Unless you
wanted
to get rid of them. Should I said yes?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
My wife's getting her hair done. You're buying all morning.
Oh, lucky us. Yeah.
I know. Can you look at, Apple was at APO. Can you look at T for me, AT&T? You're probably sick of tired talking about it.
You're right.
I'm not, Richard.
I'll give you another one then.
No, that's okay. I mean, but what I've said is, you know, once again, you know, we always say to everybody, do your own research, right? You know, believe it.
Yeah.
You know, we could be wrong, you know, number one, right? Number two, it depends on, you know, for each individual person, there's a different approach. Now, if you're a longer-term investor, I think I've said you could buy AT&T, because 27 to 28 is support for it, okay?
Close to 3087.
Yeah. And therefore, if you like the dividend, all right, and you like everything you're hearing or whatever, and, you know, to me, 27 to 28 is a very strong support area, you know? So, And having said that, it'll probably go lower, you know. But anyway, no, but
telephone is going to be like Microsoft was 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So if we're around, mark it down, 10 years from now, mm-hmm. I think you're going to see AT&T appreciably higher than it is today.
It's possible.
We may not be here. Yeah. But it's just one of those guerrilla-type companies. It's a good piece of a portfolio. Again, you want to have it as a small piece, I think, unless you, you know, like it that much. Yeah. But right. You got to do your own research, and you got to see what happened in the past.
If it's a longer-term investment, you know, 27 to 28, and you buy some, and if you, you know, or you just say, I don't really care if it goes down to 27 or 28, you know.
Yeah.
But that's it, you know. So as a long-term investor, yeah, I mean, as a shorter-term person and so forth, be questionable. You know, you don't know.
Yeah. It's a trading range between that and 38, 39. I mean, if you get up high, you think about getting rid of it, for crying out.
Nobody gets rid of it.
Well, the funny part is I always said that. And it's true. You got a good point. But I always used to say that with Verizon. You notice how it always dies at the mid-50s, right? Mm-hmm. And now finally it blew through the mid-50s, you know. But
yeah, what was the other one that always died at a certain point? GE. And then it died.
Well, then it died, right?
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. One more?
Well, I'll do one more and, yeah.
Oh, Peter's so kind. Go ahead.
Go ahead. What did you say, a symbol? Or?
Yeah, square.
Oh, yeah.
I got out of it.
It killed me because I had sold some puts and didn't get out in time, and the thing dropped like a rock, and I learned a terrible lesson. I've always told my friends, don't go too heavy on one security, and I got greedy.
Right. There you go. We all do that. You know, I'll admit I do that too. I said, I always say this on the radio, and why'd I do that?
You know? That's when he's flogging himself with the whip in the bag.
Right, exactly. But, you know, it had a nice, you know, let's face it, it got down to 50, and now it's up to 67. What's that, 32% or something?
66.23, and it's a great idea.
Yeah.
But,
I'm not patient enough. Yeah, I mean, the other side of the story is, I mean, if you look at the price objective, then you say, oh, wonderful, 96, you know, but anyway, but obviously you're going to have a volatile stock here. If the market goes down, this will get hit again, right? So it depends on how much risk you want to take with it, you know, and if you look at the 200-day moving average, it's right at 67, right? So you're right up against that 60, you know, in the 50 days at 65, so this is an important area. It could die here. Okay, at those moving averages, but if it blows through them and they become support, then you've really got something going, you know.
Yeah. The thing I don't like, but maybe it's common in this industry, they lose executives. They lost their CFO, now they lost somebody else to go to Visa. Is that how it is in this industry? Do people bounce like that?
Oh, yeah. Yep. It's, because it's all hot right now, right? And
yeah.
You know, because Square's been doing so well, I'm sure Visa can entice them.
Right,
you know?
Right. Same thing with Alphabet and Google lost their
people. Yeah,
and,
exactly. I mean, you know, they say, boy, you guys know a lot, you know, about what you've been doing in your area, you know, with Square.
Right.
And they really took over the small business area. You know?
And there's a relationship with Visa and Square because Square uses the credit cards and that, so it would be an excellent transition.
Yeah. So, you know, it's called poaching, one thing, and the other thing is, you know,
it's opportunity.
People look for opportunity, you know, so.
Yeah, so it's not always Armageddon.
No, not really. No.
Well, yeah, you got to know why they're leaving, if it's because they had a Me Too movement, a Me Too situation. You know.
Right.
Yeah, or if they don't like how the books look, you better run for the hill.
Well, they always get nervous. They always get nervous when the CFO leaves.
Right.
No question.
Right. Why would he or she leave?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I hope you guys have a lovely weekend.
You too. Thank you very much.
Have fun today.
Okay. Phone lines are pretty wide open, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. We got about 8 minutes left. We'll go to Jack in Lockport. Good morning.
Hi, Jack. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, you guys. Thank you so much.
No problem.
I just some points of information. I've owned a few foreign stocks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
BP, it's an ADR.
Mm-hmm.
I had 100 shares. I get $60 dividend a quarter, and out of that they take a fee, but it's like 50 cents.
Right.
So nothing. All right. And then I also currently I own Royal Dutch Shell RDS the A class, and they take a 15% tax from that.
Well, that's interesting.
So, yeah, so they deduct 15%. But like you said, that's really, it's no tax to you because you can use that as part of your withholding.
Exactly.
See,
right.
So that's really, you know, so no problem. But, yeah.
Appreciate that. I'm surprised, but there is that fee you're saying on BP, huh?
Yeah, just, and it's like I said, just 50 cents.
Yeah.
And the Royal Dutch Shell, my dividends were, I had a couple hundred shares, $188 every quarter, and they withheld 28 or deducted $28.20. Mm-hmm. So that comes up about 15%.
15%. Right. Normally, that's what it is 15%.
Right. 15, right.
Yeah, the fee may be depending on where the shares are held or who's. Yeah. I don't know either.
So I appreciate you telling us that.
Smart,
yeah,
I'll tell you. Okay. It's great. Great.
And about this government shutdown, well, you know. You know, well, first of all, it hasn't affected anybody until just, I think, this week. This is the first time anyone's going to not get their paycheck.
Right.
Yeah, but, you know the news is going to do everything they can to make it look how terrible Trump is and everything. So they're going to pick the worst examples of people who can't do something.
Oh, sure. Oh, yes, that's typical show business.
Yeah, of course, of course. So everyone say, oh, my God, how terrible, right. And the country's coming.
People like bad news.
And like I
too.
Said before, this tactic has been used many times in the past by both parties. You know,
right.
So.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, it's sad. And really, they've cleaned up. I know the parks and all this other stuff weren't open, but they've allowed those to be open. So it is a sad part about people missing paychecks.
Right. I mean, I'm not saying that it's not bad, certainly. It's too bad this happens, but it's not the tragedy that the government tries to make. And plus, you know, like you said, Peter, you know, everyone should have something set aside for you know, something like this. So if you miss a week or two or pay or something, at least you got something to cover it. But
very true.
Too many people, unfortunately, don't.
Don't do that. Right. Yeah. Well, appreciate that.
Well, thank you
guys.
For calling,
thank
sir.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Hopefully when the weather breaks, we'll see
okay.
you.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Take care.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We're going to go next to Dennis in Batavia.
Holy cow.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you?
Good.
Okay. Hanging in there.
You up here or down there?
I'm sure I'm up here.
Oh
boy,
right. Very good.
I had to sell something in New York.
Oh, okay.
Now that it's gone completely communist.
Very good. We were talking about the dynamic duo of Cuomo and de Blasio the other night. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, Cuomo is.
Yeah, we're not.
Call him Michael. And the one that's on the CNC, he's Fredo.
Yeah, there you go. That's funny.
Very good.
And the old man was Don Corleone.
There you go.
Yeah, I always tell people, you know, that Cuomo sounds like he should have been on The Sopranos, you know. So, but anyway.
Yeah, he should have.
Anyway.
I got wiped out at the end of the year. I lost everything I had all year.
Really?
Yeah, I held on too long.
Yeah, that's always happens.
You're not the only one.
Yeah, believe me.
Got greedy.
A lot of company there.
Hit myself in the head.
Yep. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom.
Now I'm trying to recover. Start over again.
All right. Nothing like a new beginning.
I got CVS at 66.
Mm-hmm.
And I got Amazon.
There you
go. Oh, David likes to hear that.
I love Amazon.
I got Amazon at 1501.
Yep. Really? Boy.
Me too. I'm in there too.
Yeah, I mean, CVS, you know, has had great support, you know, since last year in the, you know, lower 60s. So, you know, you may be catching that one right. It looks like it's trying to build the base.
And, you know, and I got that merger with the healthcare.
What is it?
Right.
Who would they buy? Or
was it, I hate any of the
I can't remember.
But,
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
Yeah, I can't either.
And CVS closed 65.81.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's... like a bottom fisher, but it's you know, in the area where it's logical, you know. So
I got killed in MGM.
Yeah, boy.
And I forgot. It's do your own research. I forgot that they get a third of their money from China.
Oh, geez, yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
that's
there was
a good
just
example.
Somebody who's a Carl Icahn took an interest in Caesar.
In Caesar,
think, right? Yeah,
I saw that. Caesar's a different. It's interesting. You ought to look into Caesar. That's an interesting situation. So,
because that China, third of their business.
Wow.
Comes out of China.
Yeah, there you go. You didn't do your own research. We appreciate you mentioning that.
Yes.
I got killed there, and I got killed in the other one. I'm thinking off the top of my head. But I like AT&T.
Yeah, I mean, long term.
But a dividend, I just.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I mean. It depends. Yeah, and you know, if you look at Amazon, resistance is in about the 67.75 area next. So,
then come back to 2000.
Well, I hope you're right there, because that'd mean the market's in good shape too. Yeah. It certainly wouldn't get there in a bad market.
I'll feel happier
that,
for his wife now if it keeps going.
Oh, she's
up
the richest woman in the world.
Well, that's what somebody said. You know who probably gave away the punchline already, but he was asking who is the greatest long term investor ever, and they said Jeff Bezos' wife.
Right.
Yeah, true. True.
She made $150 billion.
Because there's no prenuptial. You know, so.
Right. Smart dude. Yep. For a smart guy.
Oh yeah.
It's so dumb.
The key is he's a guy. That's why he's so stupid.
And he knew what he was thinking with. And I don't have to tell you.
No doubt.
No
exactly.
Doubt,
we can't say it on the air. So.
We can't say it on the air.
Right.
But we all know what it is.
Well,
he's
anyway,
got four
yeah,
children, we, and it seems amiable.
Right.
God bless him
whatever.
And his family. And
she'll be.
You're talking that kind of money.
Oh, yeah.
How mad can you be?
Exactly. Yeah, you're laughing all the way to the bank, believe me.
Yeah.
It's all relative, right, Dennis. Right. It's all relative.
We're
Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah, I think perfect timing. We're finally going
to
get
real. I had to get down a communist land.
Well,
so,
well, we appreciate that. And we'll be looking forward to hearing you when you get back. And
I'll call from Florida.
Okay, great.
Looking
forward. Okay, thanks for calling.
All right. Have a good weekend.
Take care. Okay, we've reached the end of the show. You know, as we always say, do your own research. Keep a little powder dry, and we'll be back next week.
Have a good weekend.
Yep.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.